A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 459. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about The Borrowers. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are looking at a children's television show from the BBC, one of their classic BBC adaptations, The Borrowers, six 25-minute episodes from 1992, and the series then returned for a sequel the following year in 1993 that sometimes listed as The Borrowers Season 2, sometimes listed as The Return of The Borrowers. But we're going to be focusing mainly on the first series, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And we can talk about both. These are an adaptation of some classic novels by Mary Norton. She wrote a total of 5 Borrowers novels.
Indeed.
So getting into the setup, the Clock family are a group of tiny people. They're about 6 inches tall, and they live under a grandfather clock in an old house. And they survive by borrowing items from the human full-sized inhabitants of the house and taking them for their own use. So they steal food and other items and so on. And their lives are radically changed when a young human boy comes to stay at the house, and there are some new interactions there.
Yes, indeed, because the boy is curious and looks into things, whereas the adults in the house previously hadn't. And of course, this all coincides with the Clock's own daughter, Arietti, making her first forays out into the world of borrowing, something that she's very keen to do, even though her parents are slightly against the idea. So we're already set for a sort of collision between the world of the borrowers and the human beings, as they refer to them.
Yes, the concept of borrowing as this sort of adventuring out into literally the larger world and stealing things, that's sort of a big part of this.
Indeed. Let us run through the characters of the borrowers. We have got the family Clock. Pod Clock is the father of the family. He is the sort of main borrower, resourceful and creative explorer of giant landscapes. We'll say that the Clock family take their name, as borrowers do, from the place where they live, which is why, as you say, they're the Clock family from under the grandfather clock. Pod Clock is played by none other than the great, late, great Ian Holm, who we particularly know from seeing him in the dual role of Frankenstein and his creature in the Mystery and Imagination episode from 1968, which we particularly enjoyed, because he's wider known from Alien and from playing Bilbo Baggins in the Lord of the Rings films. And he's a marvelous actor, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. He is a fantastic actor to watch in anything we see him in. Homily Clock is Pod Clock's wife, played by Penelope Wilton, who you might remember as Harriet Jones MP from the new Doctor Who series fairly early on in the run of new Doctor Who. She is the mother of the family, the home builder, and is quite adept at taking these larger items, things that are too big for them, and finding other uses for them. So small items will turn into pieces of furniture and so on.
Yes, and they're very good at adapting these larger items for their use in their home. And to complete the Clock family, we have the daughter, Arietti. She is played by a very young Rebecca Callard, who I now recognise from one of my favourite TV shows, Detectorists, where she played the character Tony. Here she is playing the sort of, I'm going to say early teens or maybe 10, 11, 12-year-old Arietti Clock, a bright, adventurous, keen to get out into the world and start borrowing, even though, as I've said, this makes her parents rather rather nervous. And she also, unusually for a borrower, she has taught herself how to read and write, which will become important at various plot points along the way.
Yes, and they have fun in the visuals with her holding a pencil that is big enough that it sits on her shoulder when she's writing with it. George, played by Paul Cross, is a young human boy spending his summer holiday at this house, and he will discover Arietti and befriend her and start helping the borrowers and the Clock family in particular.
He will indeed, yes. He'll be an important link between them and the human world, but he will run into trouble because he is being cared for, supposedly, by Mrs. Driver, the housekeeper. Keeper of this old country house, who is a stern and rather intimidating villain of this show, who believes that the house has got rats under the floorboards. She's going to find out that it's not rats, obviously. Mrs. Driver, played by the wonderful Sean Phillips, who perhaps best known or probably first came to fame in the almost legendary BBC production of I, Claudius from 1976, where she played the part of Livia. Remarkable actress who's still active and who has literally this year, 2024, turned up in an episode of New Doctor Who with Chuti Gatwar, or rather, actually, she wasn't with Chuti Gatwar because that was a Doctor Light episode, wasn't it? But anyway, she's in New Doctor Who.
Yes, spectacular actress with an amazing career, still acting professionally in her 90s. But she was, of course, many years younger in this 1992 series. Kempferl, played by David Ryle, is the gardener and groundskeeper at the house who Mrs. Driver consults and talks to him about their rat problem. So he will be a villain pursuing the quote-unquote rats as well.
And he'll be aided and abetted by a character called Mildeye, played by none other than Kinvig himself, Tony Haygarth. Although, as you pointed out to me, Brian, we not only saw him in Kinvig, but we saw him in that David Jason show Ghost Boat as well.
That's right.
So he is a rat catcher who lives in a Romany caravan and is recruited by Kempferl to eradicate the house's unwanted inhabitants, let's say. And he will return in season two as a villain as well.
Yes, so we have, as you might expect in a children's series dealing with these little miniature people, we have some imposing villains who want to wipe them out.
Absolutely. So let's return to the borrowing world, or borrowing from the human world, because we learn fairly early on from Pod and Homily that the first rule of borrowing is never be seen. They go to great lengths to avoid being seen by these human beings that threaten them. But of course, Arietti, unfortunately, manages to break this rule pretty much on her first time out into the human world, an encounter that she initially finds incredibly scary and threatening.
Yes, but she soon discovers that George is actually friendly and helpful, at least helpful some of the time, and does the unthinkable of actually talking to a human person. And Pod and Homily are horrified when they discover that Arietti has been doing this, but they find him helpful when he starts bringing them things, and then when Mrs. Driver and the others are learning about the borrowers and trying to eliminate them. And of course, at that point, the Clock family is forced into the outside world and have to escape and journey to somewhere else to survive.
Indeed, they do. They're going to have to leave their comfortable existence in this old country house and head out on another or a huge adventure.
That's right.
So let's turn to our production notes for The Borrowers and start with Mary Norton, the author, who lived from 1903 to 1992, an extremely successful and well-remembered children's author, certainly here in the UK, and as we'll find out in the wider world from some of the adaptations of her works.
Yes, her first novel was The Magic Knob from 1944, which was the basis of the Disney film Bedknobs and Broomsticks from 1971, which is a film I remember seeing as a child as well. So interesting to find that connection.
Absolute classic. Lovely film.
Yes, it really is, with Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
And Mary Norton published The Borrowers in 1952, and it won the prestigious Carnegie Medal for the best British children's novel of that year. It was successful, it was a bestseller, and she would go on to write another four Borrowers novels.
Now, interestingly, she based the house in The Borrowers on the house called The Cedars in Leighton Buzzard here in England, where she grew up. Although another little interesting house-related note that I found was that the cottage that she and her husband lived in Devon, is now known as Borrowers Cottage, which I love. Fascinating little detail there.
I will note that it's much more common in Great Britain for houses to be given names than it is in most other places.
Yes, true. Quite confusing for the post office, but yes. Now, of course, The Borrowers, as we've suggested, has been adapted for the screen several times. Interestingly enough, first off, in 1973 on American television. I know very little about that other than that it's there and it exists. But The Borrowers on American TV in 1973.
Yes, and there was a movie version in 1997 with John Goodman and Celia Imrie and Jim Broadbent. So, you know, some big mainstream Hollywood type stuff happening there. And there was also an anime version from Studio Ghibli called The Secret World of Arrietty. That was from 2010. And there was even a later British TV one after the one we're talking about now from 2011. And that starred Christopher Eccleston as Pod Clock.
And that's interesting because I think that is on streaming and it might be an opportunity for us to actually cover a non-Doctor Who appearance from the Ninth Doctor, who I don't think we've had on one of our British Invaders shows yet, Brian.
Yeah, we haven't covered anything with him yet. We've covered things for a lot of different Doctors, but he is one of the ones we're missing. In non-Doctor Who roles, of course. We have covered his Doctor Who work.
So let's turn to this production in 1992, and the producer, Grainne Marmion, who had loved the books as a child, and she managed to acquire the rights for the BBC Children's Television, thinking quite rightly that this would fit in perfectly to their adaptations of children's classics. We've got a screenplay written by none other than Richard Carpenter, who we remember from most well remembered for Robin of Sherwood, which we covered very early on in British Invaders history. But he also created Catweasel back in 1970. Catweasel that might yet still come up on the pod, who knows?
Yes, that would be an interesting one to look at. And Richard Carpenter, I think, is an interesting person to do this because of the research interests he has. He did a great deal of historical research and literary research for Robin of Sherwood. And where The Borrowers, you just have the five novels, I'm sure it would be something that he would have delved into in detail because that was the type of approach that I think he would take.
Okay, fascinating.
The series was directed by John Henderson, who had directed Doctor Who, The Curse of the Fatal Death for Comic Relief, which I believe was from 1999. And he went on to do the 2006-2007 sci-fi comedy series Hyperdrive, which we covered in British Invaders 105 and 106 back in 2011.
Very good.
Now, in more sci-fi comedy connections, the music for the show was composed by Howard Goodall, who had also worked on Blackadder and Red Dwarf.
And the music is charming, actually. actually. And Howard Goodall has had a lot of work for television over the years.
Yeah, it suits what they're doing and the source material quite well, I think. And with the BBC doing this, and also with these well-known classic children's novels, they were able to attract a very strong cast, including Ian Holm and Penelope Wilton, who were actually married at that time.
Now, for actually some of the outside filming, they used Chawton House here in Hampshire for exteriors of the country house where the Borrowers originally live. But of course, with the production of this show, we've got to talk about some of the magic that comes from the variety of tricks the production team used to imagine tiny people in a full-sized human world. So we've got some wonderful sets that the Borrowers live in. We've got a fair bit of CSO green screen. I think it actually was blue screen from one of the extras I saw, but blue screen work. And then, of course, the props department, who I imagine must have had a great time, Brian, constructing all these giant tools and bits of food the Borrowers interact with. As you said, Arietti's pencil, which in real life I should imagine was a tiny golfing pencil, but in her case has to rest on her shoulder so she can write with it.
Yes, they took that approach of using several different techniques in order to establish this difference of scale. And they also had to make costumes which look like they had been made from scraps of human-sized fabric. So you would see things that looked like they were made out of pockets and this sort of thing. And they would do their low-angled camera shots of the human characters to emphasize how huge they were compared to the Borrowers.
Some interesting techniques at use there, Brian. Now, I'll mention that the title sequence, as well as featuring Howard Goodall's music, also features some rather charming artwork of the Borrowers, which is actually the artwork that appeared in the original 1952 novel. And having looked into this, I'm pretty sure now that the artwork is by a very interesting British artist called Diana Stanley, who, for our interests, also did some covers for the Wurzel Gummidge books that we have talked about in the past as well, Brian.
Oh, interesting. Those titles did set the tone for the show very nicely. The Borrowers was broadcast on BBC One in a Sunday tea time slot starting on November 8th, 1992.
And if you've got any familiarity with British children's TV of that era, you'll know that classic Sunday tea time slot where they often broadcast their various adaptations of classic books.
And then The Return of the Borrowers, or The Borrowers Series 2, if you prefer, was made by the same team, and it was broadcast starting in November 1993.
So the Borrowers series was very well received, very well reviewed. It won a BAFTA for the first series for Best Design, which is perhaps not surprising. And in 2000, the British Film Institute here put the Borrowers TV show at number 79 in their top 100 British television programmes from the 20th century, which seems, actually, that's a remarkable achievement to get into that top 100. We'll have to have a look through the other 100 and see how many of those shows we've covered.
Yes, absolutely. There may be a few of them.
So, availability time. Here in Region 2, I have been watching two BBC DVDs for both series. The season one is very easy to get hold of still for less than a fiver, absolute bargain. Season two, for some reason, seems to be out of print and is now changing hands for at least £30 or more. Both of them feature some cast interviews and some very brief making of features, one of which appeared on Blue Peter, the classic British children's show here. And then in the second series, something that appeared on a show called Bite Back that I'm not familiar with. But anyway, so there are a few extra features. Both the DVDs available to rent here at the moment on cinemaparadiso.co.uk, but I can't find them streaming anywhere. And I would have thought that these would be, you know, absolutely ideal for ITVX, who's now got the BritBox channel, but they haven't turned up as yet, Brian. Meanwhile, across the pond in Region 1?
In Region 1, there is no release. with Series 1 imports running for about $7 US or $7 Canadian on Amazon. And Series 2 imports are about $30 US or $50 Canadian. So as you mentioned in the UK, harder to get those Series 2 discs at this point. The original novels are still in print. There is a 5-book box set that's available, and there are other formats available in print as well.
And you can also track down some of the other adaptations. The John Goodman film is, of course, very easy to get a hold of. Strange enough, the 1973 American version appears to be streaming on Amazon over here. I'm slightly concerned about the 2011 Christopher Eccleston one, which doesn't seem to be as readily available as I hoped, but we'll have a closer look at that and see whether there's some way of watching it.
Yes, we'll have to see what we can do.
So that'll do us for episode 1. We are going to return next time and talk about the second season, The Return of the Borrowers. And we're going to talk a little bit about the charm of stories about little people who live under the floorboards. And we may tie that into some other tropes of children's literature that we touch on from time to time.
Absolutely. And of course, we will get to our own reviews and recommendations and thoughts about the show. Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, including lots of reviews of various children's shows and all sorts of things. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And we are also on Threads and Instagram as British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
And you'll find us on the Voice of Geeks Network there. Platform at vognetwork.com. You can come along there and find some other geek-related stuff. You may be able to borrow a podcast or two from them as well.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England signing off.